Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. What messages are best to send? Do URLs really work? And what in the heck is it with emojis? All of this and more in today's episode about proximity marketing and how proximity triggers keep messaging converting with some professional tips. Hi there, I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman.
Welcome to another episode. This one Hazel has been positively giddy about all week while she was putting together some talking points and stats for us to use today. But before we go any further and let Hazel loose to talk about messaging and notifications, the first thing we want to talk about is what exactly is mobile wallet marketing?
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification and they have the ability to tap the backlinks and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Awesome, Hazel. Thanks so much. Now, why don't you go ahead and tell us why this episode puts such a big smile on your face?
Well, thanks, Kim. I will tell you why, because when we planned out our next few podcast episodes, I realized that we chose this topic the same week as World Emoji Day, and as a stats junkie, I noticed that there were many metrics that came out the same week as techies celebrated it around the world. That, and it so happened to be my birthday. So, which is more relevant to our discussion today, is what I'm rattling off with the stats on this episode, is that they're current.
Awesome. No wonder you're so happy about it.
Yeah. Now, we've done a messaging before in previous episodes, and there are many articles about it on mobilewalletmarketer.com and on our podcast. So go listen to episode 38, where we discuss a broad list of what kind of business applications garner the best results for a variety of business types and setups. There are also some anecdotes about out-of-the-box thinking that really set up business owners to make the most out of using beacons and proximity marketing to increase sales, boost profits, and create enormous amounts of goodwill from customers. And episode 59, we break down managing traffic at an event while using lock screen notifications, keeping everyone in the loop, and from speaker lineup changes to room changes, we take a deep dive into what works with mobile updates.
Right. And since mobile updates is what we're talking about today, we also have geofencing and iBeacons. So just to briefly touch on how those work, iBeacons are short-range transmitters that usually will fit into the palm of your hand. They're super small. And they offer proximity and context options for triggering the attention of smartphones and sending lock screen notifications when they're going to be the most effective. And, you know, these generally can be used with clients in any kind of small to mid-sized business. The triggers can be set based on time, proximity, or location, which makes it simple and easy for nearly any business to engage with prospective customers via mobile.
Right. And by last count, there were over 7 million of these iBeacons in the U.S. alone and deployed from your local store to your shopping mall, and even in the larger cities that have Major League Baseball or football stadiums.
Right, so there's not one specific way to use iBeacons or geofencing, but there are multiple ways to use them. You can use them multiple times. They're not a use it once and lose it. So, you know, what I would probably suggest is if you want some more information about how beacons actually work, we have a free downloadable worksheet on our mobilewalletmarketer.com website, and we go into a lot more detail there on how to set up your strategy to get more business and to beat your competitors, and how to actually implement both the beacons and the geofencing. And like I say, it's all on this free downloadable worksheet at mobilewalletmarketer.com.
Right. And just to give you a sense of how huge this space is, location-based marketing hit a spend of $17 billion in 2017 with a forecast of $38 billion by 2022. These numbers are even larger than what previous charts in earlier years predicted.
And when we looked at the survey data for these companies, the main reason that this, you know, works anywhere from, you know, a digital marketer to a small to medium business owner is it generally tends to boost the effectiveness of marketing ad campaigns. You know, most companies are going to see somewhere in the nature of an 80 to 85% success rate in achieving growth within their customer base. and experiencing a higher response rate to promotions and definitely seeing a much higher customer engagement.
Not only that, there are 77% improved ROI with their mobile ads. Kim, these numbers are astounding. They just keep lifting each time a new report comes out.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty about these notifications. What kind of notifications work best? You know, push notifications are currently a key to many mobile strategies, just like email open rates are a key to other campaign strategies. So some must obviously work better than others.
Yeah, you keep your user base excited to hear from you. You're adding value to their day. And think about that, what's in it for them. So a time-sensitive message provides a sense of urgency. That kind works best with a call to action. And in this case, we mean like a URL in the message or for them to tap to gain their reward. Now, more than ever, emojis have become a huge part of a high conversion engagement. People love emojis, and they love them as part of a push notification and are more likely to open your offer with them than without.
Well, you know, emojis actually do have a real impact. We've been using them in our email communication with our prospects and our customers for probably a year and a half now. And anytime I run a mailer that has emojis in the subject line, we automatically see a better open rate than if it's just a straight text line.
Right. You know, these open rates are higher whether they're in a title, a push notification, without emojis, where they're 85% as likely to open the message now rather than just peeking in on it from the lock screen and opening it up later. So emojis help the user take the next step towards running your offer or campaign.
And do you want to know why that is?
Yeah, tell us, Kim.
Because emojis evoke a sense of persuasion. You know, the whole purpose of an emoji is to convey an emotion or a tone or some sort of a, you know, like a fake facial expression that kind of, you know, it causes a person when they see an emoji in a message, it sort of lights up their brain in the exact same way as if you see a human facial expression. It makes it easier for people to express what they want to convey to users, and it makes the people that receive the messages recognize it as a nonverbal cue in a positive way, so they're more likely to engage.
Right. Users engage on a higher level with push notifications that have emojis than those that don't. Not only will users open messages more often with them on a message title, they are more likely to execute that call to action.
Right, which is taking them to the next step, and you know, it effectively engages them, brings them more into your circle, and no doubt it increases revenue.
Right. And just on a quick side note, did you know emojis started as wingdings or dingbats on personal computers way back? They were in solid colors and they weren't animated as they are today. Who knew they would ever be in an emoji movie, which only increases their rise in popularity with the younger generations. But I digress. When you use these emojis there on push notifications, you don't want to overuse them. As I always like to do, is think strategically on how to use them. Here are some tips towards being as effective as possible with them. Is the content you're conveying really need an emoji? Don't force one in there because you want to keep it relevant. And now with over 2,000 to choose from, it's easier than ever to find an authentic option. So be sure the emoji being used is relevant.
Well, you know, the other thing about it is certain systems only allow for a certain number and type of emojis. So the ones that we find that are usable with the Apple Wallet passes have to be specific to Apple. Now, those are pretty easy to replicate in the third-party Android because they're designed to replicate the Apple. So that kind of brings us to the next tip that I brought up before is that you really want to convey some sort of an emotion. When you're making the tone clear in your subject line of your email or in your lock screen notification, if you're updating a pass, using an emoji that best conveys an expression either a facial expression or, you know, another one that we've had really, really good luck with in our email opens is when we generally tend to do emojis that invoke the type of message that it is. Like if it's a podcast-related update by putting an image of, you know, like a play button or something like that, something to give them a clear idea of what's going to make the most impact and what's going to read smoothly.
Yeah, and you may want to test it out to see how the emoji looks in a mobile view for it to also make the impact. You know, with 25 characters on the line and with the emoji that takes up two characters, you want to be sure that it makes the lock screen and it isn't hidden under when you swipe through it.
So, Hazel, since you were out running around doing all the research on this one, what do you think the most popular emojis are that people use today?
Well, thanks, Kim. The popular emojis are happy faces, hearts, flowers, the sun, sparkles or stars. Like a facial face with heart eyes work really well. Like a hand symbol, like the okay hand symbol works well. A target, like an archery target, works mm-hmm. well. A clock, you know, the strong muscle arm that you see, those are always working good. And a blow kiss face. You know, the hands together to form, you know, the please or a prayer seem to be quite popular. Airplane, the good thumbs up. And finally, a gift box works well.
I can see where all of those would work well. I can also see where sometimes they could be overused. One of the other ones that we particularly have really good success with, especially on our cannabis wallet mailer, is using little green leaves that would be somewhat indicative of cannabis. Or, you know, like I said, on the podcast mailers that we do or the podcast notifications, having something that indicates, you know, a musical note or a play button or something like that.
Right.
Some of them, I think, are probably just like overkill and they're really silly. So we don't tend to worry so much about what's trending. We just try to kind of look and figure out what's relevant.
Right. And the last thing you need is to have a message line that users won't open because there's too many of them. So be aware of that as well.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we book in, so we'll have one at the beginning of the line and one at the end of the line, so it very clearly delineates this is the message and it's eye-catching, or we'll use one or maybe two in the beginning and then none at the end. You know, we just play around with it a lot to see what actually works better. But the thing that I'm absolutely positive of is every time we use it, we definitely get a better open rate and a better response rate. So absolutely, if you don't have the messaging worksheet from Mobile Wallet Marketer, go over, download that. It's free. It'll help you get everything sorted out and set up. So I think that's all I have for this topic.
Yeah, that's really all I have today. Again, go to mobilewalletmarketer.com, get the worksheet download. Find us on our social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And that's all for today. Thanks for listening.